Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
There has been news over the weekend in Major League Baseball, one of which is that Roki Sasaki has indeed been posted by the Chiba Latte Japanese squad. And I have not focused a lot on Sasaki. We haven't talked much about him. And maybe that's my own error, but the main reason why I haven't given him a lot of thought and we haven't talked that much about him on the Rico is I don't think he's going to be a Met. Now, I've realized that I'm just basing that on history. I'm just basing that on the fact that Sasaki, unlike Yamamoto, unlike other guys who become true free agents, he's not going to make a decision based on money. You know, we spent a lot of time last year talking about Yamamoto because the thought was maybe the Mets are just going to make the highest offer. Maybe the Mets are going to make the highest offer by a lot, and they'll just convince Yamamoto, despite the Mets not being the Yankees or the Mets not being the Dodgers or the Mets not having the right geography, they would just somehow convince him to come to the New York Mets. When you have a situation like this, it's very similar to when Ohtani got into free agency and he was posted years ago. The salary structure is very different. You can only use your international bonus pool money. And there are a lot of little factors that we're going to find out over the next few weeks, such as when is he officially posted? Is this going to be a part of the more recent international bonus pool signing? Or is it the brand new year, which could cause teams to kind of unethically, but they will do it anyway, walk away from agreements that they have from young international free agents they were signing, so that they could take all of their money and give it to Roki Sasaki. But at the end of the day, the most amount of money you could have, if I'm not mistaken, with international bonus pool money is something around $7 million. And remember, if you get Sasaki to sign for your team, you have control over him contract-wise until 2030. So Roki Sasaki so badly wants to leave his Japanese team. And I've read a few stories that I guess they had some issues. He held out a couple of years ago. So he really wanted to get out, and they're basically doing him a favor by posting him, but he's not going to make big money. And so my thought has been, and obviously now I'm kind of changing gears because it's real. He's a free agent, so I've done a little bit more research on it. But my thought kind of remains the same, which is how are the Mets getting? How are the Mets going to convince Roki Sasaki, a 23-year-old fireballer, the next great pitcher to make that jump from Japan to the United States? How are they going to convince him, when all the money is virtually the same because it is, to eschew the geography of being on the West Coast, which you always hear is an advantage with Japanese-born players? How are you going to get him to ignore the Dodgers and not just their rich history, but what they've been doing recently in terms of acquiring Japanese players? How do you even overcome the Padres if West Coast baseball is a thing and he truly loves Yu Darvish? How do you overcome the Yankees despite the year we had? And as much as we think we've grown away from being little brother, Roki Sasaki's a 23-year-old kid growing up in Japan. I doubt he had a Met hat on. I doubt he had a Yoenis Cespedes jersey. So I still remain very skeptical that in a free agency that really doesn't involve big money, so Steve Cohen can't walk into a room, drop his checkbook, and say, come on over. How do you get him? Now, Mark Feinsand wrote an article on MLB.com. I reposted this the other day, in which he talks about who's involved. And Feinsand lists the usual suspects. The LA Dodgers are the favorites. The San Diego Padres are the favorites. But he also said the New York Mets, the New York Yankees, and the Chicago Cubs are among the teams that have done extensive scouting on Sasaki, who drew dozens of scouts to his starts throughout the season. One AL executive who believes the Dodgers and the Padres are the co-favorites to land Sasaki said the Mets may not be far behind. Quote, of the East Coast teams, I think the Mets have the best shot, the executive said. What I would have loved from Feinsand, or really from this executive, is why? I appreciate, I think we all appreciate that of the non-West Coast teams, the Mets have the best shot to get him. Okay, follow up. Why is that? Is it Kodai Senga? Is it Steve Cohen? Is it OMG? Is it Queens? Is it the mound? Like, what is it? I mean, I hope it's the case. And for anybody that doesn't want Roky Sasaki, for anyone who says, nah, I'm good. And honestly, I think the reasons why anybody would say no to a young, flame-throwing, awesome pitcher from Japan would be twofold. Number one, they'd be preparing for the disappointment of not getting him. And number two, and I know that you've said this, Pete, you're kind of done with the Japanese pitcher who comes over and you can only pitch him on 6 days and you're not sure you're going to get that durability. Is that a part of your concern with Roky Sasaki?
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of like done with Kodai Senga. I know it's crazy to say because there's too many rules. Like, we've gone through the rules before with Matt Harvey. We've gone through rules like in baseball with Strasburg and Chamberlain. Listen, I gotta be honest. You pitch one day every week. That's all it is. That's what you do. So let's make sure that you're available. And especially at 23 years old, get out there. So I don't want to deal with that. There's too many problems with the pitching staff that we have to sit there and baby guys.
So here's where I would agree with you, and here's where I would say you're wrong. When it comes to the big-time contracts, and we probably should have had this discussion more when we talked about Yamamoto a year ago, but I think we were all just so desperate, and we were all so wide-eyed that we're like, screw it, just bring them in. Like, we didn't think about those things, or maybe we did, but we didn't care about it necessarily as much. I think when you're giving out $350 million, or you're even giving out what they gave to Kodai, which is a much more reasonable $15 million a year, I understand the trepidation of, hey, that guy's only going to throw 140 innings. That guy can't pitch every 5 days. Do I really want to invest top dollar, $300+ million, in a guy that's never going to be the 200-inning pitcher? And I would say to you, it's a very fair point, 100%. What makes things different with Sasaki is that he's not going to cost a lot. Like, you're talking about a guy who's going to be under team control, making a reasonable amount of money, well below market value for the first few years in 25, 26, 27, 28, and 29. Like, that guy is under team control for 5-6 years. So even if he's not going to be that innings eater you described, even if he's going to have a lot of rules like you talked about, it's not like we're paying him $30 million a year. So just be effective in the 25 starts you make, in the 130 innings that you throw. Even if it's not what we dream of from a typical ace, when you're paying a guy so much less than what you have to pay an ace, to me, I don't fret it.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is much.
No, I get that aspect of it. But again, I don't like going into a season where we already know that this guy's only going to pitch 140 innings. But which 140 innings is it going to be? Is it the first half of the season? Is it the second half of the season? Is it going to be playoff? Like, you're moving too many parts for something where, listen, we never knew that Sean Manaea was going to be as good as he was this year, but we did plug him in for a normal amount of starts this season. And that's what he did. I want that.
He ended up throwing 180 innings. And one thing to keep in mind about Sasaki, we're probably overshooting the amount of innings he'd throw. Because last year, and I think it was an oblique, if I remember correctly, he threw 111 innings. The year before that, 91 innings. And the year before that, at age 20, was his career high, 129 innings. So he's not exactly thrown a lot of innings, though I do think there's a positive to that, which is that if you acquire this man at 23 years old, who's only thrown 414 professional innings in his Japanese career, you would assume you have a guy who's got a lot left. You know, he hasn't put a lot of mileage on his arm. So that's a positive way to look at it. I'm not going to lie. I have zero expectations that the Mets are going to get him, but I would want him. And I would be very, very, very excited if the Mets were able to somehow pull this off and acquire him. Because I think, unlike a lot of other players that you acquire, not just from Japan, but in free agency in general, you're picking and you're buying for the future. He's 23 years old, and the best is yet to come. At least that's what would hope. And if it doesn't work out, it's not killing you that much financially. So I hope the Mets get him. I don't have a lot of faith for the reasons that are obvious. Why is he picking the Mets over the Dodgers and the Padres and even the Yankees when all the money is the same? But I will gladly, I guess, deal with those negatives that you talked about if they're able to bring him in and add him to this rotation.
He's basically Jacob DeGrom at the end of his career.
What the hell's wrong with that? I mean, you say that in a negative way. He's Jacob DeGrom. Jeez, I take that.
At the end of his career, though, where it's like, hey, we can maybe get like 90 innings out of him. That'd be cool.
That's all he's done so far. That doesn't mean that's what he's going to do in the future. So keep that in mind. The other rumor going around is that the Mets, and they should be, they're attached to Garrett Crochet, who the White Sox have basically admitted, their general manager, Chris Getz, I think is his name, freely admitted the other day, yeah, we may trade him, and we're going to want a lot of position players back. So they've been pretty blunt, especially with where they are as a franchise, and it actually makes a lot of sense, because Garrett Crochet already is arbitration eligible. He's going to be a free agent in just a couple of years. So you'd have him for 25 and 26, and then he'd be a free agent in 2027. And if you're the White Sox and you are so far away from winning, you're probably not winning or being competitive until Garrett Crochet is a free agent. And at that point, you know, who knows if you even are. So wouldn't it behoove you and make more sense to deal him now? Here are the risks. Here are the positives of Garrett Crochet. And we'll go a little bit more in depth as the days go on. He's only started one full year this past season. He made the 32 starts, but remember, they managed his innings in an incredible way over the last 2 months of the season. So even though he made 32 starts, and one could say he pitched a full season, he really didn't pitch a full season. He threw 146 innings, and in his last couple of months, we saw it because we faced him. If you guys remember this, they were really keeping him down to 2, 3, 4 innings, but he was very good last year. And again, he's another one of those guys that you're paying for the future on. He's a left-hander. He hasn't thrown a lot of major league innings. He missed an entire year a few years ago in 2022. And he looked so dominant, especially striking guys out. I mean, guys struck out 12.9 guys per nine innings. And his control was actually really good, the best of his career this past year. So I'd be very interested in Crochet. Last year, I wouldn't have been. Last year, I've been a lot more hesitant to trade young players. But I think where the Mets are, I would be open to the package that it's probably going to cost. Now, what is it going to cost? You're looking at three or four position player prospects. I doubt Brett Beatty has the value we all hope he has. Because sure, if Brett Beatty's the centerpiece of the deal, sign me up. But they're going to ask for Jett Williams. They're going to ask for Drew Gilbert. I don't even know about Ronnie Mauricio's value, considering the injuries. And we'll get to Ronnie Mauricio in a second, because David Stearns was asked questions about him. But yes, as the White Sox look to ship off Garrett Crochet, it would be an amazing addition. He doesn't make a lot of money, so at least for the next couple of years, you're not even paying top dollar. Now, I think that when you acquire him, you're probably working out some kind of long-term extension. We heard that about him last year, that he wanted a long-term extension, and there's a good possibility that teams trading for him are going to go in there signing him long-term, which I'd be open to doing. If you're giving up three key position player prospects, you'd probably want to lock him up long-term. But yeah, of course it would be great. The question is, do we have the stomach to trade what it would take? We'll spend more time.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.